And now a conversation about urban gardens. Over the last 10 years, there has been an explosion of interest in locally grown food throughout the city of Baltimore. Master gardeners and first-timers alike are planting gardens on rooftops, abandoned lots, patios, and decks throughout the state of Maryland. What could be better? You want a salad for dinner? Just hop up to the roof or mosey over to your nearby community garden and grab some lettuce and a few tomatoes and you're all set. Freshly harvested food is always more tasty than the packaged stuff, and it couldn't be healthier, right? Well, that depends. Brent Kim is a researcher with the Center for a Livable Future at Johns Hopkins University and the lead author of a paper that considers the rewards and the risks of gardening in an urban environment. And he joins me in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
So the risks basically come down to possible contaminants in the soil found in urban environments. What kind of contaminants are we talking about?
Sure. So, Baltimore, like many cities, has a history of industrial activity. Some places have, we have parking lots, we have busy roadways, we have industrial activity, we have dry cleaners, and those things can leave behind a legacy of soil contaminants. So we're talking about heavy metals, things like lead, arsenic, cadmium, chromium. But it's not just the metals. There are also what we consider organic chemicals as well, things like petrochemicals, cleaning solvents, things of that nature.
Any idea about how prevalent this is in the soil of around the city of Baltimore?
So a lot of the research that's been done thus far has focused around lead. And in many cases, that is one of the more prevalent heavy metals. But there's a fairly big knowledge gap in terms of these other contaminants, such as those petrochemicals, that we might not know as much about.
So what about folks who raise their gardens? They do raise gardens on city plots. Does that help inoculate them against risk from this kind of stuff?
So we interviewed 70 gardeners across Baltimore City, and one of the things we wanted to know is how concerned are they about contaminants in their soil? And what we heard from a lot of them is that they weren't particularly concerned about contaminants because they were using raised beds, and they commonly felt that the use of raised beds protected them against soil contaminants. So here's the lowdown on raised beds. They do help, but there are three things that you need to consider. You want to make sure that the materials you're using to build your raised beds are safe. For example, you don't want to be using, say, railroad ties or contaminated lumber as the barriers for your raised bed.
Because the chemicals from the wood or something can seep into the soil that you're growing things in.
That's absolutely right. Mm-hmm. The second concern is that you want to make sure that you know where your soil is coming from. When you're bringing in that soil to fill your raised bed, you want to make sure that it's from a trusted source. Another concern also is that a lot of the exposure to lead and some of these other contaminants is usually through accidentally ingesting it. So when we're out gardening, we can kick up that soil with our feet. It gets kicked into the air. And it's a particular concern for kids who frequently might put their hands into their mouth. So the issue with the raised bed is they don't cover that whole contaminated plot. They only cover a small percentage of that land. So even though that area might be fine, you might have kids playing on the rest of that contaminated soil and then being exposed to it.
How about testing the soil? Does that give you information that's valid and trustworthy?
We absolutely want gardeners to make sure they're always testing their soil. But again, a lot of gardeners were telling us that they've tested their soil, and so they're no longer worried about contaminants. The concern there is that the typical soil test that you order for your soil is only going to check for a narrow spectrum of heavy metals. And there might be a lot of other contaminants, those petrochemicals or cleaning solvents, that test isn't going to look for. That's why, in addition to the soil test, we want to make sure that gardeners are also looking into the history of their soil. They need to know, how was that land used before it was a garden? And even the history and the soil test don't necessarily paint the full picture. And so you'll never know for sure. So because you'll never know for sure, we want to make sure that gardeners are following the best practices to reduce their exposure to any contaminants that might be present.
A lot of the concern about stuff that comes from rural farms or commercial farms that are not in urban environments focuses on the pesticides that they use to keep the bugs out. Are these kinds of contaminants at all an issue in Harford County, Anne Arundel County, Baltimore County, or is it just a city thing?
I'm really glad you asked because our study draws a lot of attention to food that's grown in the city. And I think to put that in context, we need to keep in mind that all of the food that we eat potentially carries some risk with it. And if we're growing our own in the city, at least we have some control over those risks. So again, putting this in context, there are researchers who have looked at, who have identified DDT, an insecticide that was banned decades ago. And yet we're still finding that in concerning levels in our seafood, in beef. A lot of my colleagues have identified toxic form of arsenic in chicken. We're finding it in rice. So the point is not to scare people away from urban gardening, because all of this food potentially has some risk with it. But we just want to make sure that people are empowered to garden safely in the urban environment.
So we really do need to sort of contextualize this for folks, because we're all told, and we all believe because we should, it's true that, you know, if you eat healthy, if you eat locally grown stuff, if you grow your own food, that generally speaking, that's going to be a better deal for you health-wise and nutritionally than if you're buying it, you know, commercially, certainly in a can or in a frozen package or something. But so what's the level of risk that we're talking about here? I mean, how concerned are you about the contamination levels of in the soil in Baltimore?
Well, just to go back a second, you mentioned some of the health benefits, but it's not just about our personal health. When we're using urban land as a growing space, we're also providing habitats for pollinators. We're reducing urban stormwater runoff, which is a huge issue in Baltimore City. Just coming off of those heavy storms we've seen recently, you see that a river essentially running down the street. So we really need those green spaces. It's a place where communities come together. They have economic benefits. And I'm on these farms and gardens every weekend, and for me, I recognize that for a lot of kids in Baltimore City, that urban farm or that urban garden might be that kid's only regular exposure to nature. And that's their educational experience, is learning about nature and soil and bugs and how things grow. So it's a health thing. It's also an ecological and economic and an environmental benefit that these farms come with. Sorry, I diverted from your question.
Yeah, I mean, are you really concerned about this? Are you kind of concerned about this? Are you a little concerned about this?
Well, yeah, I can say personally that I'm going to continue to eat urban-grown fruits and vegetables like they're going out of style. I think in terms of public health concerns in the food system, this is not high on my list. I want to see more people growing. We just want to make sure that people are empowered to do it safely.
Brent Kim is a researcher at the Center for a Livable Future at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. We've got a link to the study that he and his colleagues wrote about soil contamination in urban gardens. Come to WIPR.org/Maryland Morning for more information. Brent, thanks so much.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
You can also go to WIPR.org to make a pledge in this spring membership campaign, or you can call one of our terrific volunteers who are waiting to take your call right now. Here's my good friend Nathan Sterner to tell you how to do it.